Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Orioles on the Verge. This is Zach Spedden, joined as always by Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens. And for the first time since last fall, we can break down the four full season levels of the minor leagues. Now, we talked about the Norfolk Tides in our last episode. So in this episode, we're going to focus on the Orioles' three other full season affiliates, Bowie, Aberdeen, and Delmarva. All three clubs got their season started over the weekend, and we're going to break that down a little bit in this episode. And I will start here with Bowie. The Bay Sox dropped their opener against Reading at Prince George's Stadium on Friday by a final of 5-2, but then the offense woke up in a big way on Saturday as they defeated Reading 19-1. They followed it up with a 4-3 win on Sunday to clinch the series victory. And we're going to get into some of the standout performances, but Bob, I'll start off with you here. Focusing on the Bay Sox, we saw kind of a close game, some back and forth on Friday that ended in a loss for them. But then on Saturday, they had what could go down as one of the biggest wins of the year by any Orioles affiliate. What are your thoughts on the way the Bay Sox look so far?
I think they look great. And this is without even Samuel Basayo having an extra base hit, even though he's played pretty well. He's hitting the ball hard. He hasn't struck out much. You know, the big names haven't really got going, especially on offense, but the pitching staff seems to be as advertised, I would say. And the hitting is on its way. Ben Cosme is holding his own. Love to see him start in Double A and get off to a good start. Dylan Beavers looks pretty comfortable. We could just list the names, but I mean, I just think it's a really solid squad, and that probably helps a little bit that Triple A is so loaded that these guys, like even Billy Cook, stays in Double A, not because he's not warranted to be up in Triple A. It's because there's really no room for him right now. So he's going to have to repeat Double A despite performing really well there. I think Bowie's going to be a lot of fun to follow all year round. And yeah, I like to see him get off to a good start because, you know, if nothing else, they have great outfield defense between Beavers, Fabian, Dante Williams, John Rhodes out there. So pitchers got to love the defense behind him.
Yeah, Bowie was just like, I think I mentioned this on the daily I did on Sunday. It's like when those guys in Norfolk get promoted or traded or moved or whatever, the guys in Bowie are going to step up and Norfolk's still going to be putting up 15 runs a game at this rate. Judd Fabian, it was good to see that he rolled his ankle opening night and was back in the lineup on Saturday. And I think that's when he hit his home run, his one hit in two games. Of course, it's a home run because that's what Judd Fabian does. He's got a 167 average, but a 953 OPS. Gotta love it. For me, on the hitting side of things, Ben Cosme stood out to me the most. He had Saturday, he was 3-for-3 with two walks, two RBIs and a stolen base. He was perfect on Saturday. He had a hit on his very first game of the year, and then I think he went hitless. Yeah, he was 0-for-4 on Sunday. But still, overall, Ben Cosme is off to a pretty hot start. What is that? Four hits and 11 at-bats, two walks to just one strikeout in his three games played. And I know there was some you guys were talking in the Patreon chat about the defense looking pretty good over at shortstop. That's a positive as well. I just think Ben Cosme, this is a guy that the organization is pushed, I think, on like social media channels in the off season. He's a guy who they pushed through the organization, literally. He had, 2 days in the FCL before he went to Delmarva. He's up in Bowie now. And how old is he? Is he only 21 still? Yeah. 21. He just turned 21 in December. Christmas baby. That's right. I think this organization is pretty high on Ben Cosme. I'm not just saying this because he was just on the show, but I think he's unique. He's not in that same tier as Enrique Bradfield Jr. is, but he does provide a unique look as a hitting prospect in this organization. Last year, I think we talked a lot about if Ben Cosme, he's going to fill out, he's going to get older, he's going to get stronger. Do we start to see more power from him? And he hit two home runs last year. I don't care if the power ever shows up. I don't think he needs it. I think he's going to be, he's not going to ever challenge Gunner or Jackson Holliday or Westbrook or any infielder to be a starting infielder, I think, for the Baltimore Orioles. But I do think he can carve out some sort of role in the big leagues as a utility type player who makes good contact, does not strike out, and steals bases. So I like that. And then for me is the pitching as well. Zach Peake and Kyle Branovich, just beautiful. Two outings from them. And it's, I jotted down, how old are they? Branovich is 26 and Peake is 25.
Man, I thought and they were 40 by now.
They should be. I think my only note with them is it's one start or one outing in Peake's case. They were good. A lot of strikeouts, very little to no walks. What, they each allowed, what, one earned run, I think, in each of their outings. I think this is great because these guys don't have any tread on their arm. They are 26 and 25 years old, and they're in AA. So I think a lot of people would look at that and be like, okay, and just like poo-poo that. That's a mistake because both these guys were drafted in 2019 by the
Angels. They didn't even pitch.
Yeah, they didn't pitch that year. They didn't pitch in 2020 because of the pandemic. They each had a full year in 2021, which Branovich ended in Bowie and Peake ended in high A, both pitched very well. Then they have surgery at Tommy John in 2022, so missed virtually all of 2022 and 2023. So this is really their second full year of pro ball. And Branovich is throwing 95, 96 now with more pitches in his tool belt. That's huge. Like, I'm, again, it's just one outing, so like I'm not, I forget what I was going to say, but it's just one outing, but I am very intrigued and very pleasantly surprised that they are off to this hot of a start in Bowie.
Yeah, my favorite thing that's come out of this minor league season, I think, you know, the first weekend is that Branovich is all of a sudden throwing 3-4 miles per hour faster and added like two legitimate out pitches to his repertoire. And he was already a guy that we thought could be a back end starter, decent bullpen arm. Well, if he's going to be throwing this hard and he's added weapons, then my man has a shot here. So I love to see that. And I hope it continues throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to see both of them back on the mound being really effective. And in that same vein, got to shout out Trey Miguel, who had a really nice outing on Saturday. Two innings, faced a minimum, struck out three, no walks. And now as a reminder, Miguel was a Rule 5 pick out of the Pirates system, the minor league phase, before last season. He missed most of the season because he had had Tommy John surgery early in the 2022 campaign. He looked good in a small taste when he got back on the mound last year. But this has the potential to be his first full season since 2021. So Miguel, Branovich, and Peake kind of in similar positions right now in Bowie. And I feel like with the starts that they're getting off to, they're guys that we could see at AAA at some point. And going back to Ben Cosme for a moment, I think this is absolutely a situation where the Orioles knew that the stat line at Aberdeen did not meet what they had from their data. We've seen this before. You go back to Connor Norby in 2022. Norby didn't hit particularly well at Aberdeen, but he went to Bowie and lit the world on fire before getting promoted to Norfolk. Ben Cosme off to an excellent start at Bowie. And I agree with Nick. I don't think he really needs to develop for that much power. He's going to be a utility infielder with an excellent eye at the plate, great walk to strikeout numbers, going to hit for a high average. If he hits 10 to 12 home runs in his best seasons, you take that as a win. We'll move on now to Aberdeen. They had kind of a tough weekend, losing back-to-back games by one run before getting the win on Sunday. And Sunday's game hit on a big theme for the Ironbirds over the weekend, which was that a lot of the pitchers that the Orioles drafted last year who did not pitch after the draft made their debuts over the weekend. And on Sunday was Jackson Baumeister, who pitched his way out of a couple of jams against Jersey Shore to put together a pretty good final line. He goes three shutout innings, striking out five against two walks with three hits. Carter Ballmer comes in behind him to get the win in relief with two innings with one unearned run, allowed Davey Cruz two scoreless innings to back him up. So it was a good day for Aberdeen's pitching staff to pull off the lone win of the series on Sunday. Meanwhile, the offense scores four runs. Creed Willems, who was off to a fantastic start, went 2-for-3 in this game. And Bob, I know that we talked about this a little before we went on air. Willems is really hitting well right now. Do you think that he's kind of in the same position that he was at Delmarva last year, where after struggling over the course of, you know, more than half a season at Aberdeen last year, he's quickly making adjustments to the level and just overmatching pitchers.
It's very early. I think he's played in two games, but sure seems like he's doing that thing again where he struggles mightily, takes a couple months off, comes back and dominates the level. I mean, obviously we'll see, but to get off to the start that he did, 3-for-6, a home run, 2 walks. I think maybe this is the routine he's going to settle into. Let's see if he gets up to double A at some point this year and struggles, then I'm going to expect him to come out and mash in 2025 in double A. Love to see it though. Catchers develop slower. We know that. And he's a big kid with a lot of power and a lot of potential. And I think he's just going to keep reminding us of that throughout his career here. And yeah, I think I would love to hear Nick talk about Jackson Ballmeister's debut though, if we could, because I thought he put it really nicely in the Discord. Join it if you haven't already. What do you say, Nick?
First of all, I will say Creed Williams is going to be 21 years old real quick, and in Bowie by the end of the year. So I think I will make that statement now, and I'm not even a big Creed guy, to be honest, but hopefully this trend continues. I really liked watching Levi Wells and Jackson Ballmeister this weekend. I was pumped. I did not think Baumeister was going to start in high A. Bob, you had it in your preseason roster prediction article, and I was like, I just don't see it. It's pitching. We don't know how this organization is going to treat bigger pitching prospects because we've never really drafted those types of pitching prospects. Baumeister looks really good, I thought. Let me pull up his numbers here if I have the Baumeister numbers. Yeah, he didn't have the most crisp command and control, I think, but this was his first career start. And it's in high A, so I give them a bit of a pass on the less than stellar control command issues that they had since just one start. But Baumeister, when he was hitting his spots, the fastball, I think a couple of times on the broadcast, they mentioned like 93, 94. I think that's on par with what he was throwing in college. But it looks like it plays at like 98, 99 miles per hour, to be honest, especially up in the zone. The curveball, that was an offering that really stood out to me. When it was on, he was able to flip that thing in there with like one or two, with two strikes on a guy. And like weird noises came out of my body a couple of times as I watched him pitch. For their first career outing, I thought it was great. Levi Wells even as well. I know, again, I'll mention it again. I know a lot of people know this by now, but he was one of the guys in Jeff Pont's article. He tagged as him and Teddy Sharkey, who unfortunately didn't pitch this weekend, but as two guys who could reach the MLB level this year from last year's draft class. I don't think the Orioles do that because I think they're going to continue to work Levi Wells as a starter. But when you watched him pitch, was that Saturday, you definitely see why Jeff would like tag him as one of those pitchers, because the fastball, when he was locating it, he was pounding the fastball. And then same thing, the curveball may have not have been like visually pretty as Baumeister's, but he was getting hitters to chase on the curveball with two strikes. He only walked one guy despite getting into a lot of deep counts. Like, I give both these guys solid Bs on their debut. They were worth the wait, I think, both of them. Levi Wells and Jackson Baumeister. You got two, at least Baumeister's probably, because he was, what, a third round pick last year, I think that's right. Obviously he's the guy that's going to be under the microscope this year. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about Baumeister and seeing how high he could get to this year. Could he get to double A by the end of the year? No.
I felt like Baumeister got better as he went along in Sunday's outing, and I agree with you, Nick, that the fastball seemed like it was playing up from the actual velocity. And early on, I'm not reading too much into velocity. I expect that the fastball is going to be down a tick or two in the beginning phases of the year, especially for a player that's coming north to begin their season. This is a myriad of factors, but Baumeister's fastball sitting 93, 94 in that outing and seemingly playing higher was really encouraging to me. And I thought that Wells probably pitched better than what the final line indicated in his start on Saturday. So two really good debuts there. And speaking of good pitching, if you looked at the Delmarva Shorebirds final scores over the weekend, you would get a vastly different impression of what actually happened in these games. The Swordbirds dropped all three contests at Fredericksburg. They lost Friday's opener 4-2, but then were defeated 11-4 on Saturday and then 10-4 on Sunday. What you would lose in the nuance, though, of looking at those final scores is that their starting pitching looks really, really good right now. And that's thanks to Jacob Cravey, Blake Money, and Luis De Leon coming out with really good season debuts. Cravey got things started on Friday before Money came in with a good start on Saturday. And then De Leon looked very good on Sunday. And I'll just start with De Leon here because if there's a prospect at the lower levels that I think was incorrectly held back, it's De Leon. I don't think he has much left to prove at Delmarva after the way he pitched last year. And the only reason I can think that he's there is that you do have a little bit of a logjam right now at the upper levels. It's going to mean someone has to start a level lower than they otherwise would. He doesn't have a lot of experience. And if you want to quibble a little bit, the walk totals could get better. In his first outing, he comes out 4 innings, 1 earned run allowed, 2 runs total, 2 hits, 5 strikeouts. And this is the key thing, 0 walks. And the stuff looked like it did last year. Fastball, good velocity on it. The changeup and the slider looked good as well. So De Leon, to me, I just don't think he belongs at Delmarva anymore. And I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, he looked electric to me from what I saw of his start. And I think it's fine that he's starting there, but hopefully they don't keep him down too long. And again, I'm glad for guys like Edgar Portes, Davy Cruz, Juan de los Santos. They all pitched well opening weekend. Moises Chace hasn't pitched yet, but happy for them that they're starting in Aberdeen because I thought they'd be stuck in Delmarva again. But yeah, Luis De Leon's got to join them soon. And I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe Cameron Weston moving up to AA, someone like that. But yeah, Luis De Leon looks amazing. And Alex Pham, I mean, Blake Money, he looks pretty incredible too. A guy who was like a late relief pick in last year's draft, and all of a sudden he's starting the game, and we're like, interesting. Then he comes out and strikes out 7 in 4 innings and looks great doing so. So the Orioles continue to pull rabbits out of their hat, and I'm glad Blake Money, because it's an incredible name, is the latest to join that list.
It's useless unless we draft his brother, who is a catcher, apparently, Cash Money. So that's, we got to complete this this duo here. Yeah, it's the pitching in Delmarva. I mean, Jared Beck and Brainerd Sanchez gave out combined 9 runs in like 1 total innings pitched. That skews things. Michael Ferret made his pro debut as well. He was a later round draft pick. That's a deep project pick. He gave up 6 runs in his 3 innings of work. Honestly, though, I did not watch him pitch in that game, so can't really speak too much about him, but I did watch Money and De Leon and Cravey, and man, all three of them looked really good. Cravey, you can see why this guy is a tank, like 6'6". I don't know how much he weighs. It's a lot. That is a powerful arm up there. Luis De Leon, though, he only has, what, like 30, 40 innings in Delmarva last year, so I get it as well. I think he could hold his own, more than hold his own in high A right now, but I guess it is a good sign, though, at least that like Juan de los Santos is in high A, because he had like 100, more than 100 innings, I think, in Delmarva. Davy Cruz is in high A. I think he exceeded 100 innings in Delmarva already. So I guess get those guys up to high A, see if they can cut it or not. But Luis De Leon won't be far behind him. I mean, he's 20 years old, just 20 years old, and he throws harder than Cade Povich. Or he's at least right in line with Cade Povich in terms of fastball velo. I think Povich was like, what, 93 to 94 topping out at this weekend, or in his 2 starts this week against Charlotte. Luis De Leon, we know, can pump 94, 95, 96. The changeup is a work of art already. I think that's the one thing that's been highlighted about him is that he is 18 years old with like mastering the changeup already, which you don't see a lot of 18-year-olds like in the Dominican Summer League throwing quality changeups. De Leon was. Yeah, that was really promising. The lineup, I mean, it was a lot of these guys' debuts. Anderson De Los Santos looked really good for this lineup, like really good. I pounded that table all offseason, and I'm not going to stop because he looked great in those first 2 games. But the pitching, man, we said it, you're the pitcher. Just keep saying it. Just get it tattooed because it's happening this year.
Yeah, seriously. I was going to actually throw that to you at one point, but I forgot. We will keep banging that table. I love that phrase. All season about the year of the pitcher. I watched a lot of Delmarva this weekend. I don't know why I'm drawn to watching, first of all, the pitching, obviously, but these young hitters. And I enjoyed, even though Braylon Taveras started 0 for 10 with two walks, Leandro Arias started 1 for 11 with two walks. I just like the presence that those guys showed at the plate. You can see they're ball players. I think they'll be fine. Like you said, Anderson De Los Santos off to a fantastic start. 3 for 7, a double, a triple, a walk, striking out less, and again, very short sample size. Thomas Sosa, 3 for 11 with a double and a walk. I like seeing Aaron Estrada get in the lineup in left field. He had a double with three RBIs in Sunday's game. Yeah, I just think it's a lot of fun to watch these young international guys. And my guy Jake Cunningham is there too, so that doesn't hurt.
Well, we're going to dive a little bit into the hitters here and the pitchers in our final segment. And this is something we love to do every episode in season, which is shout out players who finish outside of our top 30 prospect ranking for something they've done, whether it's been a good game, a good week, or maybe there's just something interesting in their stat line that we want to point out. And I'm going to start with Nick here because he has a hitter on Delmarva that I know he's pretty high on, and I think the three of us are pretty high on as well.
Sorry. Yeah, my hitter is Anudis Mordaunt. Sticking with Delmarva there, he went 4 for 8 this weekend with a double and a home run, three walks to just one strikeout. And I think I posted the home run clip on Twitter and someone like responded. It was like, there's another one, like another catcher in this organization. I'm like, there might be. Like, that's why I took him in our minor league draft or locked on before the season started. There are probably 5 or 6 at least, maybe more, catchers in the system who are probably better defenders than Mordaunt, but the kid hits. He hit a lot last year in the FCL, and he's starting this year by hitting and taking walks. It's the crazy thing to me with Mordaunt. He wasn't on my radar, at least until last year when he started hitting the FCL, but this is his fourth year of pro ball, and he's still just 19 years old. And his numbers in 2 years in the DSL were not good at all. He had a 581 OPS and a 555 OPS in 2 years in the DSL. But then he goes to the FCL, and he put up an 894 OPS with 7 home runs. And he was 4 for 11 with a double and a home run last year in like 3 or 4 games with Delmarva. So shout out to Mordaunt for his hot start. And my pitcher, you guys touched on him, was Blake Money. I mean, I did not have Blake Money being used as a starter on the minor league bingo card this year. But like I said, when I did the daily recaps over the weekend, like it's not him coming out of nowhere though. Like, he was a starter at LSU 2 years ago. Some kid from Air Force, like Skeens or somebody, transferred into LSU and bumped him out of the rotation. Like, okay. But you know, I thought the Blake Money and Riley Cooper picks were just kind of like both LSU bullpen arms. I just thought they were kind of like the low ceiling, high floor relief picks that we've seen a lot of in years past. But maybe Money is more than that, because you strike out 7 guys, you give up 1 run on 2 hits in your debut this year. The velo, I think he was throwing in the mid-90s. I think the broadcast had him at like 94 a couple of times. He threw a lot of strikes, and the list grows for intriguing pitchers that I think we need to pay attention to this year.
Yeah, for me, I went with Zach Peake as my pitcher. I'll stick with pitching for now. I just thought this was awesome. Zach Peake's first performance of the year, first outing of the year, and starts out a little shaky. I think he led a couple runners on, but ends up, I think he got out the last 8 guys he faced, something like that. But he had 7 strikeouts in 3 innings, giving up 2 hits and a walk. And he was electric. I wouldn't expect him to be at AA too long if he continues to perform like this in AA, picking up right where he left off from 2022 before he went down with the injury. And for my hitter, I'm going with Anthony Servidio, who last year it seemed like, you know, he was going to be that organizational filler guy, just bouncing around where it was needed, played a lot at AA, not because it was warranted really based on performance, but because they had a need to fill. And he actually, the longer he was there, the harder he worked, he started fitting in a little bit better as the year went on. And I think now he does belong at Double A, and he's off to a pretty solid start. 2-for-8 with 4 runs, a double, an RBI, 3 walks, and a stolen base. And we know he can play really good defense up the middle. So just wanted to shout out Servideo, who, you know, maybe he's got a chance to get back in the good graces of our prospect list this year.
I'm going to go with another infielder from Bowie for my shout out here, and that is Colin Burns, who was excellent in the Bay Sox 19-1 win on Saturday, going 3-for-4 with 7 RBIs and falling just a double short of the cycle. Burns' season last year was really limited by injuries. He only appeared in 44 games across 4 levels. So this is the first chance that he's had since 2022 where he's got an extended opportunity to prove himself. And so far, coming out of the gate, looks very good. And now, as a reminder, Burns, if you want to go back a little ways, was the Orioles' 6th-round pick out of Tulane in the 2021 draft, an infielder who can move around a little bit. And so far, the bat looks really good at Bowie, still just 23 years old. Curious to see what he does for the rest of the way. And then for my pitcher, I went with Jacob Cravey. His stuff looked great in Delmarva's opener on Friday. I know that Fredericksburg's gun on MILB TV was a little cold. So if you came watch one of those games and you saw someone hitting 87, 88, that was not true. They were probably more like low to mid-90s. And that was certainly the case for Cravey in that start. His secondaries looked really good as well. And the final line in that outing was great for him because he comes out of that with 4 innings pitched, giving up just 1 hit with 5 strikeouts against 2 walks, no runs allowed. So far, things look good for him. He definitely looks like he has a starter's mix with his pitches. We'll have to see how things play out. But 22 years old, 6th-round pick last year out of Samford in Alabama, listed at 6'6", 215. So big mound presence there, and his stuff looks great. And that does it for this episode. We will be back later this week to take your questions about all things Orioles, including Major League and Minor League topics. In the meantime, you can find us on our many social media channels, including Facebook, X, Threads, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And while you're browsing around the internet, be sure to check out our Substack newsletter, as well as our Patreon community. Not to mention, you can kind of get a preview of all of this through our Discord channel. You can find a link to that in our show notes. For Bob Phelan and Nick Stevens, this is Zach Spedden. You've been listening to Orioles on the Verge, part of the Believe Podcast Network.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.